Well, good afternoon. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we're going to have a fascinating, fascinating guest on. A man you, well, have you ever heard of Indiana Jones, or what was his name, who had all these wonderful, wonderful adventures. And, of course, Harrison Ford played the part. And people say they're really, of course, that's just make-believe. Well, our guest this afternoon has been to the North Pole probably close to 20 times, and he's climbed, the mountains in Tibet. He's been behind the Iron Curtain when, of course, it was worth your life to be behind the Iron Curtain. He is one of the most fascinating individuals who's led the most fascinating lives of anybody you've ever heard. And hopefully we're going to have him with us here in just a few minutes, and he's going to be able to share some of his views of what's going on in the world and where we're going. And I know that I have heard him speak in the past, and long before the Berlin Wall came down, during the Reagan administration, he said the Berlin Wall is going to fall, and of course, communism is going to collapse. And everybody looked at him and said, that couldn't be true. But of course, he was right, and we were wrong. And through the years, he's really had an amazing, amazing amount of information that has helped people to better understand of what is going on in the world. And so if you really want to, of course, have some grasp of what's going on and know where we're going and where we're heading, you'll want to listen to our special guest this afternoon, Jack Wheeler. And I can tell you that I've talked to him off the air a little bit, and of course, he has told me that what's going to happen to the stock market. And, of course, I don't have any money to invest in the stock market, but he really feels that the stock market is going to be up for some time, how high it's going to go. He says at least 10,000 by October. Now, that's a pretty, I don't like to make appraisals. I don't like to make statements because I don't know what's going to happen. But I will tell you that our special guest this afternoon, and if we have him with us, I think you'll agree with me, will be one of the most amazing, amazing interviews you've ever heard. Now, the way things are going so far, we don't seem to be doing very well tracking him down. But I'm going to ask our producer to come in here. I'm going to give him my book, and perhaps he can, of course, look at some of the numbers that are here and may be able to get the guest this afternoon, because I'll be very, very disappointed if we don't have him as a guest this afternoon. And so if Kyle will come in, why, we'll let him take a look at the book and see if he can track him down from there. But if not, why, of course, we'll just have an open line program and try to address some of the overwhelming questions, some of the questions that are facing us today. And that is, of course, why are they coming out and admitting now that some of the information that was given to the American people before the attack on Iraq just weren't quite right? Well, right now, of course, we've got Jack Wheeler on the line, and we've got 25 seconds till we go to a break. Jack, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. You're going to have to hang on because we have to go to our first break here and then introduce you to our audience here and in our other stations as they join us. But hang on, and we'll be with you in just a moment.
Very good.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And with us this afternoon is Jack Wheeler. And of course, all of us would like to be adventurers and have all of these wonderful opportunities to travel throughout the world and do the things that you hear other people doing, but most of us are never going to do it. Jack, how many times have you been to the North Pole?
21 times.
21. I said 20 times. Well, I guess I'm just too conservative. But
last time was last April. So.
And of course,
we haven't talked since then.
So. All right. Well, why do you go to the North Pole so often?
People keep paying me to take them there.
I think that's an excellent answer. And of course, you've had an opportunity really to travel throughout the world. You've had a fascinating life, haven't you?
Ever so often, Stan.
Right. And what are you doing right now, of course? I know that you put out a newsletter, and I just read you and subscribed to it and read it, found it just full of fascinating things. But what are you doing at the present time?
Well, we are working on To The Point News. It's a project that we have that we're really excited about because, you know, I live here in Washington, and I've had a foundation that advises congressmen for many years, and we decided to make a lot of this information available to subscribers on the web. We call it a geopolitical intelligence service, and we also pass on investment advice that we that comes our way, and all kinds of interesting things that are going on in the world. Kind of like the same thing that you're doing. You say the story behind the story, the news behind the news. We call it To The Point News. It's, you know, the triple W. ToThePointNews.com.
All right, fine. And, of course, we can give people knowledge of how they may want to subscribe to that later on in the program. But, of course, you've been analyzing what's going on in the world for a long time, and you've been amazingly right. That's the problem. I wish I could had the knowledge and background that you do. But you've been talking. Well, let's talk a little bit about the stock market, because your statement made to me off the air was that you thought that the market was going to stay up here for a while. Of course, there are a lot of doom and gloom people who say that it's going to tumble. This is just simply a temporary rally. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think there's any way in the world that George W. Bush is going to make his father's mistake, and that this economy is going to be reeling and rocking for at least a year before the election next November. And one specific reason that I have for that.
I'm going to have to interrupt you because we've got to bring on one more station, and then we'll have. Then, of course, you can give us the background of why you feel that the market's going to hold up for a while anyway. All right, our guest is Jack Wheeler. And, of course, Jack, go ahead. If we've got 12 minutes now uninterrupted. Go ahead.
Uninterrupted.
Right.
Okay, well. One of the main reasons, not just because the pump has been primed so much with the money supply, and we're coming out of what I call the recession. My name for the recession that we have had is called the Clinton hangover, because we had this giant party where everybody kind of got economically drunk. And we've had a hangover for some time, and we're working our way through that. Also, one main reason that tech stocks crashed is because all information technology buying was compressed into 1 year in 1999. People spent, and companies, big companies, spent 4 years of their IT budget in 1 year.
This was in preparation for Y2K then?
Preparation for Y2K. And so now they've gone through that, and so the buying cycle has started again. But another main reason is, if you talk to a lot of businessmen, especially small businessmen, the one thing that drives them crazy is that the money is out there, but banks won't loan it to them. Because the banks, because the Federal Reserve requires what are called secondary source collateral requirements. Not just you put up a primary source of collateral to borrow money for your business, but you have to put up an additional secondary source. And lots of businesses just don't have that. And so the Fed is going to be relaxing these secondary source credit rules. They're called credit rules. And loosening the requirements for these secondary sources of collateral for business loans. And that means money is actually going to become available for businesses to borrow, to expand, to hire people, to to buy more of the necessary equipment that they have. And now, of course, Clinton, Bush has changed the depreciation schedule and advanced that so people can write off more of what they buy. So you put all of these things together, and I think sometime this fall, the Dow is going to hit 10,000. And I think that by Election Day, 2004, the Dow will be above its record high of 11,722.
Well, I think that's a very interesting observation, and I'm going to be looking over your shoulder. And the frightening thing is you've been so accurate on so many things through the years. So, you know, of course, then what do you see happening in the Middle East right now? Right now it looks like we're sort of in a quagmire. We're certainly not even able to get the electricity and the water going on a regular basis. Two or three months after the battle is pretty well stopped. Why? We've not reestablished law and order over there. We're getting hit by certainly guerrilla attacks all the time. We don't know where Saddam Hussein is. We're having to print money, just trying to build this economy from this foundation. We're trying to restructure their educational system and their medical care delivery system. And there seems to be a lot of resentment on the part of the Iraqi people, much more so than there was when we first came in. What's your take on what's happening?
Well, I think the situation is definitely better than the media paints it. The media have a vested interest in painting a doom and gloom thing to get people all riled up and upset, and that's their shtick anyway, because that's what the liberal media does. I think that the problems that you have been describing are mostly in what they call the Sunni Triangle. The Sunni Triangle is the Sunni area in central Iraq from Baghdad to Crete, and most of our problems are in this area. We do not have very many problems in the Kurdish area in the north, nor do we have very many problems with the Shia area in the south. They exist, but they're much, much less than in this Sunni triangle area. And, you know, Rumsfeld has said, we're going to give the Iraqis an opportunity to have a free country, but if they don't take advantage of this opportunity, well, we'll just tell the Kurds and the Shias they can go their own way. These people can have their own country, and the Sunnis, who are all upset because they used to push everybody around, they were the ones who gave everybody else the orders. Now they can't do that anymore, and the power has been taken away from them, and they're very frustrated.
And, of course, they were the group that was really supporting Saddam Hussein.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it is definitely a major problem that we cannot find Saddam. It's incredible to me that we can't do this, that we can't find this guy. We found so many people who should know where he is. We've got so much out there. We've got so much money in rewards. This is getting ridiculous. And again, you know, I've never had that much confidence in the CIA, and I just wonder if they're falling down on the job. But maybe it's premature to say that. Maybe give them a little bit more time. These problems that you outlined, Stan, are absolutely immense. Saddam just gutted this country. It should be one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and he just gutted everything. And to try to rebuild all of that stuff from scratch that you described, from education to water to electricity to on and on and on, is a monumental task, and it's going to take a long time. But the situation is much better than the media is reporting it. And that's the real story behind the story.
All right. Well, that's what we really want to get from you, because, of course, we don't have the access to some of the information you do. Now, what about our relationship with Iran? It seems to be there's been a lot of demonstrations over there at least a few weeks ago. They seem to have quieted down. At least we're not hearing about them. But, of course, Iran, of course, is really a very, very tyrannical country, living at a Sharia law. And, of course, I think a lot of the people there, especially the women, aren't very happy with that, are they?
Well, the first thing to realize is that 70% of Iran's population, their population is about 68 million people. 70% of all of Iran's population is under 30 years of age. So these people have no memory of the Shah. All they've known is this mullocracy tyranny, this Islamic fascism that they've had to endure, and so the government, the regime, is really starting to fall apart. They've had to arrest maybe 15,000, 20,000 young people now and put them in jail. You're going to see more and more guerrilla attacks. I do not see any way, no matter how much viciousness is being perpetrated by these gangs of thugs that the Iranian government is hiring from Syria and from Palestine. There's a lot of Palestinian thugs that are beating up Iranians right now. I just do not see how they can maintain their grip on power for very much longer.
You mean these gangs that are coming in, and of course, beating up the demonstrators, are actually hired by the mullahs?
That's right. The relationship, the mullahocracy supports Hezbollah.
Right.
The Hezbollah terrorist movement and other Palestinian terrorist movements. So the trade-off is that they ship people out there and they act as enforcers and vigilantes and these goon squads that you've been reading about beating up the students. A lot of them are Palestinians.
All right, fine. Well, then do you foresee then that there's going to be some trouble? In other words, that the Iranian government is going to be destabilized and perhaps replaced here in the next year or so?
Yes, I think within, I'm predicting that by the end of 2004, we'll see the overthrow of the Mullah regime. How it will come about is a good question because of the race that the Iranian government is engaged in to have nuclear bombs and nuclear missiles. And this just will not be allowed.
And of course, I saw...
With North Korea, it's another situation. We can talk about that in a minute. But with Iran, we will take military action to stop that. That will not be tolerated in any shape or form.
Well, I read the most incredible statement this last couple of days. The Iranians had announced they had missiles that would reach Israel. Now, why in the world would they make that statement? That's almost like an invitation. We can attack Israel, and the only way you're going to protect Israel is to come and get us. Why would they do something that stupid?
Because they think that we won't attack, which is a pretty dumb thing. I mean, what are these people are not very smart, but I mean they know how to beat people up, and they know how to establish an Islamic fascism. But you tell 70% of the population that guys and girls can't hold hands walking down the street, or else they'll be beat up and thrown in jail. I mean, what are they thinking? I mean, come on. So they're not smart. But. Secondly, they think that they can pull the North Korean bluster move, that they can bluff and bluster their way the North Koreans do, and so they make these announcements as we're going to have missiles and this and that, thinking that this is a way to get a better negotiating situation when they're in a very, very different situation. In North Korea, the real problem is along the demilitarized zone on the North Korean side, you have got 11,000 artillery pieces ready to fire onto the 17 million people of Seoul, Korea, South Korea.
We'll get into that in just a minute.
And that is, that's a threat that you just aren't able to deal with very easily, whereas taking out Iran militarily is a far, far easier proposition.
All right, let's go to Fritz, who's calling here. Hi, Fritz, how are you doing?
Yes, very good. Sir, I respect your efforts to enlighten the American people about the situation in Iran.
Right, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, how is it our business to meddle in another country?
All right, fine. We're going to have to go to a break, and we'll take that question up as soon as we get back, okay? And you can hang on during the break. Go ahead. All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment, Jack, and then when we do, I will ask you to explain to Fritz why it is our business to meddle with other countries.
Sure, it's a good question.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment here. A
very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention to our listeners that if you are concerned about the taste of your water, you would like to get rid of pesticides or many of the unhealthy, products that you find in your water, or certainly if you're concerned at all about contamination, water from a well, there are water filters that do a very good job. Actually, the Big Berkey water filter is what missionaries have used for 150 years. They're a stainless steel water filter, and of course they have the ceramic filters inside, and of course then inside the ceramic filters are an activated carbon, and so they'll filter out most of the bacteria and certainly many of the products there, and really sweeten up the water. And if you'd like to think about getting a Big Berkey water filter, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and you can actually see pictures of them there, and of course of the Berkey Light water filters. These are ordinarily about $279. We offer it for $239. And if you buy it through us, you get a 4-tape set or a video that we have produced here at Radio Liberty. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But I have to tell you, the Big Berkey water filters are not available in either California or Iowa. They're available every other place in the country, but not California or Iowa. If you want to get a water filter that is available in every state except for Iowa, why, of course, you can get something called a Berkey Light. It's made of lucite. It's the same material they make bulletproof glass out of, so you can see the water levels. The filters are even much more efficient than the Big Berkey filters. They're called the Black Berkey filters. Of course, they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, depending upon how often you use them. If you have fluoride in your area, of course, or arsenic or things of that sort, you can get special post filters to put on the bottom, but you have to get those separate. The Berkey Light is an excellent water filter. In fact, we have one, and of course you can see it up on our website at radioliberty.com. It's $199. If you want it fancy with bells and whistles and lights, why, it's of course $259, but you can get it for $199. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Jack Wheeler, and he's back in the Washington, D.C. area, and when he's not traveling around on adventures throughout the world. But, of course, we had a call. Fritz is still on the line, and he's wondering, what business is it of us to be interfering in the affairs of Iran? So how would you respond to that, Jack?
Well, Fritz asked about under what ground should we become involved, or as his word was, meddle with other countries. And first, it is very important to make clear that it's a very tricky business to become entangled in the foreign affairs of other countries. And these kinds of entanglements are something that Thomas Jefferson, for example, was quite leery of. Nonetheless, That said, Jefferson sent his navy to deal with the Barbary pirates. The real there's two issues here. First is that a dictatorship like Iran, the government, that kind of government, has no rights. It cannot claim you're meddling with me because they have destroyed the rights of their citizenry. They're not a legitimate government, and they have no justification for saying that people shouldn't come in and just shoot them because they have because of the tyranny they have imposed upon their own people. But the question always has to turn on the very clear national security interests of the United States. For example, there's a big debate now generated by the liberal media on whether we should send in peacekeeping troops to Liberia. We have utterly no business and utterly no national security interest in Liberia whatsoever. And it would be just immoral in my mind to put the sons and some daughters of Americans, of American parents, in harm's way and threaten their lives and risk their death in Liberia to get involved in some ridiculous gang warfare between two rival gangs trying to seize power or maintain power in a place like Liberia. But Iran is another matter. We're talking about militarily destroying Iran's nuclear capacity to wage nuclear war. Now, if that isn't a security threat to the United States, nothing is. So there is all the difference in the world between those two issues.
All right, fine. Thanks very much, Fritz. And let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel. Herman, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, a couple of questions. The United States is talking about pulling away its troops from South Korea and the DMZ. Won't that embolden North Korea to attack, because they've always been there as a deterrent? And second question...
Well, let's just take one question at a time. And of course, Herman is saying we're talking about pulling our troops away from the DMZ, but we're actually pulling them back where they'll be really much more efficient, aren't we?
Well, I am in complete agreement with President Bush on this. There is no reason in my mind to have 37,000 American soldiers held hostage to a North Korean military insanity. The quicker we get our people out of there and way to the south of Korea, it provides the South Koreans with a reason to do something about this themselves. South Korea's prosperity is a fabrication of American military support. And South Koreans riot against us and complain and insult us when we make their existence possible. And I think there is no reason for American soldiers to be on that DMZ. Get them out of there. Move them to the south. Because you're dealing with one of the, I think, most dangerous and irrationally dangerous regimes in the world of North Korea. And we should not be jeopardizing American soldiers in that regard.
And, of course, when they're so close to the DMZ, they'd simply be overrun, knocked out by those 11,000 artillery pieces with an advance. They couldn't defend themselves. If they were far south, then, of course, they could regroup and certainly would be in a position to be either protected or evacuated.
That's correct. You want to get them out of that. They can still be there, but they're out of the way, out of those 11,000 artillery pieces. And that's the real problem. There are some ways to deal with this. You know, we waged chemical warfare in the Korean War. We set off these bombs that had this gas that gave the North Korean soldiers diarrhea for 2 days. And almost none of them were killed, but they had diarrhea for 2 days and incapacitated them. I like that kind of strategy.
All right, we're going to be back. Herman, hang on. We'll be back
okay.
right after the break.
All right.
Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of the other items that we carry. Of course, one of them, as you know, a Phonopoly. Phonopoly is a program to teach children how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, this is a program that will help children. It'll help young adults. It'll help old adults. And if you spend 16 hours on Phonopoly, and it's a game that's played very much like Monopoly, and, of course, you have you roll a die and you move around the board and you get property. But in the process, you're learning the 12 basic sounds of the English language, the 40 sounds, the 12 rules of the English language. And by the time you get done with this, why, of course, you'll be able to read phonetically and spell words phonetically. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. Most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, or $600. This one, of course, is $139.95. And we throw in a couple of books with this. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we want to mention the Miracle 2 soap products. And, of course, we can't make any medical claims for them, but we can tell you that an awful lot of the people who've used them tell us all sorts of wonderful things that really have helped them. And, of course, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap, a lotion and a gel. And you can get a special introductory offer at a reduced price if you just call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You can certainly go up on our website and learn about the Miracle 2 soap products, or, of course, if you give us a call, you don't have the web, why, we'll be glad to send you information that's put out by the producer and just some of the things that we can tell you that seem to be very, very practical as far as using Miracle 2 products. And, of course, as I say, we can't tell you anything special about them. All we can do is tell you that many of the people who use Miracle 2 really believe they're a miracle. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Herman on the line. Herman, did you have another question?
Yes, real estate is one of the few legs of the economy that's still booming. Do you foresee a change back up in interest rates and or deflation or inflation?
That's a very interesting question, and you know, it's kind of the glass is half full or half empty. We've had so much of these refinancing of mortgages. I think eventually interest rates have to go back up. I mean, how can they sustain this, you know, 1% around there? So they are going to have to go back up, but I'm not sure when that will happen. I think that with real estate, it's not, there isn't a lot of speculation out there. There are certain markets, like in the Silicon Valley, where people were speculating on them and they'd buy and sell, etc. But real estate has real value. It's not a tulip craze. And I do not foresee any housing crash, although I wouldn't be surprised to see housing not go up so fast.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else, Herman?
Is there a possibility that the American dollar will be removed as the world's reserve currency if the euro gets stronger?
First, I don't see any way that the euro can get stronger because Europe is in the tank. I mean, you know, it's
but our dollar has just gone down 18% in the last few months.
Yes, but it has. But it has been gaining recently, dramatically against the euro. I don't exactly know what it closed at today, but it was around $1.13 to the euro, and it was headed, people thought, up to $1.20, and it stopped at $1.18 and has gone down since, because Europe, as presently constituted, just doesn't have any economic future. They've just, you know, they've shot the golden goose. And Germans, for example, they don't want to work. They don't want to have kids. They just want to go on vacation and have permanent unemployment and pensions. So it's a disastrous situation economically in Europe, and I do not see any way that the euro can maintain its value. The other reason is that China holds the world's largest dollar reserves, and they're not going to see them go down in value. They've got, close to $200 billion in dollar reserves right now, and there's no way in the world they want to see that depreciate.
All right, anything else, Herman?
Well, finally, I mean, can our deficit, which seems awesome, be continued? I mean, how can we afford to continue spending $400 billion a year more than we make?
Do you mean the federal
trade
deficit or the trade deficit?
No, the trade deficit.
I gotta tell you something. I've never gotten this. Milton Friedman has never gotten it. You know, here's the picture. We trade pieces of paper for stuff we can actually use. You know, things like shoes and clothes and cars and real stuff. And we have to give them paper for that. And somehow this is a bad thing. I mean, somehow this is awful and it's a big deficit. And I don't get it. I mean, okay, take the paper, take the dollars. Now what are you going to do with them? You got to spend them. You got to spend them someplace. You got to spend them here. You got to buy our T-bills. You got to buy our stuff, or you got to use it as money yourselves. The dollar's an international currency. So I frankly don't see any real threat to the economy with this trade deficit.
Okay, fine.
I know that's an iconoclastic view, but that's just the way that I feel.
Okay, thanks so much for
calling. Thank you.
Thanks so much for
calling. Thanks. Very good question.
Okay. What were we've got a very, very intelligent audience out here.
Evidently.
I think so. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But what are we going to do with North Korea? North Korea is certainly wants to become a bomb-making factory, and they want to export their missiles, and they want to export their bombs all throughout the world. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, Stan, first, let me just briefly touch upon the incredible danger that this represents. Because, see, during the Cold War, if we were hit by a nuclear bomb in New York City, make up the horrible scenario, why, we knew who did it, right? And so we know who to retaliate against. And when you know who to retaliate against, why then all of a sudden you're into a Mexican standoff and the Cold War passed without a nuclear shot fired. However, if you have got people making nukes and selling them to terrorist groups or even mafias, why now if you're hit with a nuke, you don't know who did it and you don't know who to retaliate against. Now nuclear blackmail is possible, and civilization is over as we know it, because every concentration of people can now be threatened, and people have to disperse. If people were out there and everybody in the United States was living in a 20-acre parcel scattered throughout the country, nuclear blackmail, frankly, would work. It only works with concentrations of people. And so you cannot allow this to happen, and the threat is North Korea making this stuff, selling it, and then if you're attacked or blackmailed, you don't know who to go against.
All right,
so it has to be stopped. The one way to stop it is just send a sub out there in the waters off North Korea, and every North Korean ship it must be an accident. You just blow them out of the water and don't tell anybody about it, and North Korean ships start sinking, because they are transporting drugs and other material. Australia and another number of nations, their navies are gathering together to try to have some kind of blockade of Korea. I say, get the subs there and just blow them up out of the water. Don't say a word, and pretty soon South Korean shipping will stop.
You mean we say, gee, how did that happen? Look at that. Isn't that a terrible
shame? Isn't that a terrible shame? I don't wonder what happened.
Okay.
But Stan, the main thing here to realize is that North Korea is China's junkyard dog. It is China that can shut down North Korea in a New York second. There are no banks in North Korea. They have no banking system. Everything is run through China. China can shut them down. And so it is our obligation to tell China that they are going to do this. If we have to threaten to say there will not be one single item of Chinese manufacturer offloaded in one U.S. port until you do this, until you take care of North Korea, we need to do it. This is a desperately important situation, and it is China that makes the threat of North Korea possible, and that and they are going to have to deal with this problem.
All right, fine. Well, let's go. I think we've got Jeannie here calling from the Aptos area, and if you'll just screen Jeannie through, we'll be... Hi, Jeannie. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I missed the first 10 minutes, but...
I can't hear you.
Mr. Wheeler's background. Who is he?
Well, Mr. Wheeler is the Indiana Jones of modern times. He's been to the North Pole 21 times. He has read the most fascinating life, and I've had the privilege of hearing him talk on a number of occasions. A very excellent observer of what's going on in the world today. He's back in Washington, D.C. He has a foundation that it offers advice many times to congressmen to tell them what's really going on in the world today, and you're benefiting from his knowledge. I subscribe to his newsletter, and in fact, I'll let you take a look at it if you like.
And what is the name of your foundation, sir?
The foundation is called the Freedom Research Foundation. It was instrumental in developing the strategy that the press called the Reagan Doctrine, which was the strategy the Reagan administration adopted to dismantle the structure of the Soviet Empire and eventually the Soviet Union itself.
And of course, I had heard Mr. Wheeler speaking several years before the fall of the Berlin Wall, telling us what was going to happen. Jeannie, do you have a specific question?
Yes, I do. Mr. Wheeler, where does Russia fit in with supplying arms to Iran and working very closely with North Korea and China?
All right, that's a good question.
It's an excellent question. I do not trust Mr. Putin. I've met him, and I do not see into his soul like President Bush did.
Look into his eyes, and
yeah,
I just know you could trust him.
KGB guy.
Right, I know.
And so as a result, the mafiaization of the Russian economy continues. Russia is less of a danger than China. It is cooperating to a minor degree with Iran, but is still refusing to cooperate fully. They do not have the kind of leverage in North Korea that China does. Russia and North Korea do have a border, but it is a teeny little thing that wraps all the way around Manchuria and touches the North Korean border. So there isn't much leverage they have with North Korea. The leverage really resides with China.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Jeannie. We got a full board, but let's go to Ben calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. First of all, I don't like the use of the term liberal media because it's corporate media which feeds us filtered, fabricated fluff. My question is this. A young man died in Iraq yesterday buying a bottle of soda pop. Two questions. One, why is that young man dead? Why was he even there? What is he serving? He's not serving the interests of America.
Okay, is that your question?
That's one question.
Okay, well, we've only got time for
Okay, I would like him to answer. Why is that young man there? And why are people still dying in Iraq every other day? It's because of one man only, George Bush.
All right, let's get his response.
Tell me why.
Right, well, listen on the air now.
I think that we have every right to be proud of what we are accomplishing in Iraq. We have rid the world of a horrible tyrant and a very, very significant threat to the world. Again, Saddam's capacity and his capacity to develop weapons of mass destruction has never been in doubt. It's not that he had developed them and was hiding them. He clearly had that capacity, and that capacity had to be rid of. Now, once we establish democracy in Iraq, we have the capacity to liberate the entire Arab world from these kinds of tyrannies and terrorism that the world has been inflicted with all this time. The way to peace in the Middle East and the way to end this kind of terrorism is to establish democracy in the Middle East, and our president is doing just that, and we have every right to be proud of it.
All right,
and proud of our troops who were there.
All right. Well, I just wish that they weren't being killed, but that's one of the tragedies that, of warfare. Let's go to Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I've spent a lot of time ever since the end of the Cold War, and I've been watching and listening to symposiums of KGB and CIA people and how what they have to say, and I have come to the conclusion that that Cold War was one of the biggest scams that was ever put on the United States.
Let's ask the Russian people.
Let's
get Jack's response to that. And of course, Fred's suggesting, look, that maybe this whole conflict between communism and capitalism was really not exactly what it appeared to be. That there was a lot of people working behind the scenes all during this time, and maybe it was a perception, but it wasn't true. How would you respond to that?
I think it's nonsense.
All right.
I mean, good grief. I spent a lot of time, for example, in the 1980s among guerrilla movements in Angola, in Mozambique, in Ethiopia, in Cambodia, in Afghanistan, Nicaragua, people fighting for their freedom. I was in the Soviet Union first time, good grief, when I was a young boy, in 1958. I traveled all throughout the Soviet Union several times. This is a horrible, horrible tyranny, and there is absolutely no doubt they were waging waging war against this. And I had said that the Cold War is a scam is just about one of the goofiest things I think I've ever heard.
All right, fine. Thanks. That's your answer.
Thank
there,
you.
Fred. Bye-bye. And, of course, there are... As we look and see what's going on today, and of course we look at a confrontation with Korea coming up, a confrontation with Iran, but of course one of the major sources of funding for this Islamic terrorist movement is Saudi Arabia itself, our good friends over in Saudi Arabia. What are we going to do about Saudi Arabia?
Well, the first thing to do with Saudi Arabia is commoditize the price of oil. And this is another reason why Iraq is so critical here. Iraq has not the second, but the largest reserves of oil in the world. And its extraction costs are less than Saudi. They have more oil than Saudi in Iraq, and it costs less to get it out of the ground. So, therefore, once Iraq is stabilized and their oil production comes on stream, Saudi Arabia does not have the capacity to control the price of oil. Plus, Saudi is broke. They have to sell over 8 million barrels a day of oil at a price higher than $20 a barrel to pay their debt service. And once oil drops below 20, and it will within a year or so, within 1 or 2 years, oil will be at market price, which would be about $12 to $15 a barrel. Why? Saudi has to change. They will not have the money. They will have to give up and restructure their government and have a far more democratic government in Saudi Arabia.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so much you telling us, you know, and giving us the benefit of your wisdom. First of all, let's tell people how they can get in touch with your organization again if they'd like to subscribe or get onto your website.
Well, first, we have a free email report that people can get for free. That's a weekly report we issue. The website is www.tothepointnews.com. It's all one word, lowercase, tothepointnews.com. They're welcome to see what we have to say about things, to subscribe to our free email report, and then if that intrigues them, they think there's value there, they're welcome to be a paid subscriber.
All right, fine. So basically, I am a paid subscriber. Can I just call the office and get on the free email, a weekly email?
You know, you would ask me that. I should know the number of my own.
I know it, so I'll find it. Don't you worry.
My own website here, but 301-654-5459. That's again, 301-654-5459.
Well, it's been a fascinating hour. I appreciate so very much your being with us, and I hope maybe we can call upon you sometime to come back to one of our other programs.
My pleasure, Stan.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this afternoon's program, and so don't even think about changing that dial.
Really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, The Roots of Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, I want to mention that rising healthcare costs are putting families all across America at risk. So, if you're not alone having real problems financing healthcare for your family, and certainly if you have a major problem, why, you could have financial ruin. But there is an answer, at least for Christian families. It's called MediShare. It's a Christian alternative that brings believers together to share medical costs. MediShare is affordable. You'll save thousands of dollars on your medical costs every year while providing real security for your family. MediShare is biblical. This is a community of committed, caring Christians who'll be there in your time of need and help you share your medical bills and pray for you and send cards and encouragement. So if you'd like to know about MediShare, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask about MediShare. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly hope that many of our listeners out there will want to get some of the information we have about what's really going on in the world today. And, of course, we may have different views than our guests do, but, of course, we're not going to argue with them. I want you to hear what they have to say, and I think that you've heard a fascinating appraisal of Mr. Wheeler's position on where the world is going, and I think that that's exactly where the world is going. Whether we agree with everything he says is not necessarily important. What is important is that you've got inside information that you would not get even if you were living in Washington, D.C. So appreciate the opportunity you have of listening to speakers of this caliber, because I will tell you that people all throughout the world listen when Jack Wheeler speaks. So, but if you haven't got our Sustainable Development Syllabus that really explains so much of what's going on, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course I was just telling our local audience that, you know, I don't necessarily agree with everything my guests say, but I want you to know that what you just heard, I think that the information that we heard this last hour is very, very important information, and I believe Mr. Wheeler has a great deal of knowledge about what's going to be happening at the national level. Take what he said very, very seriously. You may not agree with his rationalization, but of course his information is excellent. And then, of course, we want to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. If you agree that we have a real problem in America, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and that this is not being identified or addressed by most of our ministries, we hope maybe you'll decide to support Radio Liberty. And for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do is 5 hours every day. We're on stations across America, and now with 58 radio stations pulling us down, we are having a growing voice, and we hope that you'll want to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty and get our four best tapes of the month, our monthly newsletter, but more of that, help us as we reach out. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then if you really want to understand the real essence of this battle and you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to get the video. You can get the book by yourself for by $12.95. You can get the book, the video, and the audio tape all together for $29.95. And, of course, we encourage you to copy the video, copy the tape. They have actually changed people's lives, as have the book. It's all the same story, but it will explain to you what's really going on in the world today, entirely different than you're going to get from any other source. So that's the Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, or better still, the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And I believe that you probably never look at the world quite through the same eyes again. And then, of course, our sustainable development material that goes into the background. There is a conspiracy against Christianity and Judaism and the Mohammedan faith. And, of course, if you haven't read the sustainable development syllabus, the information there is invaluable. And if you can get the sustainable development syllabus, you can get the video, you can get the audio tapes, you can get them all together by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and of course you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day there and not get anything at all accomplished. And I talked to two people this last week who actually spent 5 hours a day listening to the programs almost every day of the week, because of course you'll hear things here that you're not going to get from the mainline media and really from most other programs. So if you'd like to, of course, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, listen to the programs, pull down our newsletters, and study the older newsletters. It'll help you to understand the difference between a republic and a democracy, why our form of government was created as it was, the Christian foundations or Judeo-Christian foundations of this once great nation. Your job is to tell other people about our radio programs, about the shortwave programs, about the satellite programs, about other radio programs, about the internet programs, and then get them listening. And this is how we're growing an audience all across America, and it's you're going to have to be involved. And then consider setting up an Institute of the Constitution in your community, in your church. And, of course, you know how to do that. And if you don't, you go to their website, that IOTConline.com. That's IOTConline.com. And then please pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers. Pray for revival. Because if America doesn't turn back to God, God will never again address this nation. And then, of course, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And Dave Wilson will be with you tomorrow here on Radio Liberty. And I'll be back on Monday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.